hope that you have time to just be in the midst of what's going on, because there's a lot happening right now. It's actually started last Friday down in Vancouver at Bethesda, and they did a Friday night burn and Friday night, and then they met with the leaders from Bethesda Church yesterday, and then today they're doing ministry again. They're taking tomorrow off, and then the Bethel students will be here on Tuesday and do some ministry with leaders here in the city, which is pretty exciting that we're getting leaders from five different churches in one room, and they're going to minister to those leaders. That's pretty cool. And then Wednesday starts at 2 p.m., they're going to gather here. We're going to gather here. Anybody wants to, and the teams from Bethel are going to go out into the city and do street evangelism. And then Wednesday night, they're going to do ministry training on praying for people out outside the church and inside the church, but a lot of outside the church stuff. And then on Thursday morning, or Thursday at 2, we're going to go out on the streets again, and then we're going to meet at Father's house again on Thursday night and release people, activate people into ministry. So there's going to be a training Wednesday and a release and activation on Thursday. Then Friday at 2 p.m., we're going to meet here again, go out into the streets, and we've never done this. No one's that I know of has ever done this, gone into the streets of Longview, Kelso, and done ministry like this, where you go in with people who have been in class all year long, and now they're rabid, and they're ready to be turned loose on people. They're just like crazy people. They're crazy. And so you can go out with them. And then Friday night, we're going to meet at Abundant Life over in Kelso, and that's the first time. At 5 o'clock, there's a dinner for the students from IHOP and Bethel. Two major organizations are coming into the city at the same time. There's going to be a dinner for them. That's the first time they'll meet each other. Then Friday night, there's going to be a celebration. That's the first time those two teams will engage with each other and interact with each other. And somebody from IHOP is going to be leading worship that night. And I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that this does not happen where you have two major ministries that come into a city and meet and minister together. So this is phenomenal, you guys. What we're seeing, what's in our midst is really remarkable. Friday we'll do that. And then Saturday, all day long, 10 o'clock, we'll start with worship in here and intercession. They're going to do intercession for the city, intercession for the nation. And then on the other side, that will be IHOP teams doing that. We've got 30 IHOP students coming with three worship teams. And two of those teams ministered at one thing in January. These are really good, powerful worship teams that they're bringing with them. They're going to do intercession in here, and so you'll be able to come in here and soak and get fired up. On the other side, Bethel students are going to be praying or prophesying over people, so they're going to have prophetic booths at the table. You just go down and sit with somebody, and they'll prophesy over you and speak into your life. And then we're also going to take teams, two IHOP students and two Bethel students, and whoever wants to go with them, and then we're going to go out into the streets and do ministry. Now, I want to show you one thing really quick. Where's my thing? I'm going to play a video for you. Have any of you ever seen Finger of God 2? No? Yeah? This is a clip from Finger of God 2.
To find out, I headed to Northern Ireland to meet up with Scott McNamara, a former drug addict who, after encountering Jesus, has led over 3,000 people to Christ one-on-one right on the streets of his hometown in Coleraine. I'd gotten to know Brian Head Welch, the lead guitarist for the rock band Korn. He wrestled with his own past in Darren's film Holy Ghost when he was praying for people for the first time at a Korn concert. Something was unlocked inside him through that, and he now regularly prays for kids at his concerts. I felt God was telling me to team him up with Scott and take Jesus to the streets in Ireland. And wouldn't you know it, Brian was able to join us between tour stops. The plan was simple. Take Scott and Brian into the very same bar he used to do lines of cocaine in. Most of the people here would never go to church to meet Jesus, so we figured we'd bring Jesus to them.
Scott McNamara is going to be here next week. going to be here in the city. He's going to go out with the teams and do ministry with us all day long Saturday and probably Friday too. I'm not sure. He's in Woodland right now at the Promise. He just happened to be there. Jenna just happened to be here.
Now, when you make a movie like
Sean Dahl is going to be here also. All three of them have been set free from major addictions. I didn't even know this about Sean, but he's going to be here Friday. So I talked to Jenna this morning. She called this morning and said, something's up, guys. Something is up. That God would bring three people who are so focused on addiction recovery into our city, and we're going to do street ministry all week long. So it's pretty cool. What's happening is pretty cool. So keep listening, especially if you're fasting. If you're fasting, you'll be finished with the fast on Monday night and be ready on Tuesday for an outpouring. Be ready for a download of revelation from the Lord. Make sure you write stuff down like Patrick said, and so that we can incorporate that into what God's doing. There's a lot that's going on in our midst. And I just keep saying this. What we're asking for is something we've never seen before. So don't set your expectations on gatherings. Don't set your expectations on meetings. Set your expectations on heaven. Heaven coming to earth in Longview, Kelso, and changing everything. Amen. Amen. We got an amazing morning that's going to happen here with us. Galen, you're really strong and young. Could you get a couple of these high chairs and bring them up here for me? Thank you. Acts chapter 13. No. Acts chapter 13, verse 47 says, "For the Lord gave us this command." He gave us this command. The Lord gave us this command. Listen. "I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth." I have made you a light to the Gentiles. Let me just read this in the message so it'll make sense to you. "I have set you up as light to all nations. You'll proclaim salvation to the four winds and seven seas." Everywhere. So you have to ask yourself, how can we impact the world from Kelso Longview? We just did in worship. I believe we can shift the heavens just by doing those kinds of things. There was something that happened in worship today. And thank you, Dwayne and Sandy, for leading us with such aggressiveness. That aggressiveness is what we really need right now. We need to shift to a higher level of aggressiveness. And thank you. You're a kind man. So, part of that shift is going to come right now, too, because we're about to send two people into the deepest, darkest parts of Guatemala. You may not even know them yet, or you may not know much about them yet, but you're sending them. So I'm going to have Meredith and Taryn come up in just a minute, but I just want you to know that what's about to happen is part of what's going on this week. I mean, what did I say, Meredith? I always do that. That's because I'm dyslexic. I keep calling God dog, too, but hey, dog. My bad. We're going to pray for them. Jody would be so disappointed if she heard that. She has such higher hopes for me than that. We are going to pray for them and hear from a little bit about their story. But I think that it's linked. I think it's no joke that this is happening all at the same time, all together. Ray Hughes was over in Rainier, came to speak in Rainier, and he got sick and couldn't speak. And so somebody from the Seattle Revival Center, Darrett Stott, came down and spoke a powerful word into our region. So there's people coming from the outside that are speaking into what, listen, this is not about making something happen. This is about a God who's ready to move, and outside people are coming in to speak to what God is already doing. They're not going to make revival happen. Revival has started already. Revival's in us. It's ready. The seeds of it are in us. Speaking of seeds. This can I'm going to put up here is for seeds. And I'll be the first one. Everything that happens in Guatemala, we're going to seed it today. So that's what that bucket is for. You can bring it up anytime you want to. You're not going to interrupt anybody. You're not going to mess with anybody's program. But we're going to seed what God is doing in Guatemala today. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to approach it that way. We're going to see what, and these girls are going to go down and change the atmosphere down there. And they'll tell you a lot more about how and why that's all going to work and where we're going to go and all that stuff. So, but the plan is that in the future, there are going to be at least 3 and probably more churches that send people from Longview to Guatemala. And they're going to create a bridge for us. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go down and create a bridge for us. Okay? So, Taryn, Miranda, come on down. I better get these closer. You guys like each other. Isn't that a beautiful picture of them? Thanks, dog. You'll never think of that again the same.
Never. Get a smaller one, dear. Okay. So, I'm Miranda.
I'm Taryn.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having us. I've been here for a little while now, and it's been so much fun to be with you guys. Feels like family, feels like home already. So I just want to say thank you for kind of welcoming us. And yeah, we're going to need these. You guys might need these too, because we're probably going to bawl our eyes out the entire time. but I kind of wanted to start. Oh, nice. But there's 2. Okay. I wanted to start this off. Like, I wanted you guys to get to know us too, because it's been a pleasure getting to know you all, the people that I have got to know. So we're trying to do this like spirit-led thing today because Jeff is like, what are you going to, or he's like, you should totally talk about like being spirit-led, because literally that's how Taryn and I met. I mean, we knew each other about, gosh, a long time ago in high school, we knew each other. And then we recently just got reconnected, and that's how we're going to Guatemala, as I knew he was our, Mr. Newbern was our PE teacher like 5 years ago. Anyway, crazy story. So we're going to start off today we're going to get to know each other a little bit more. So it's going to be kind of different. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So the people who are next to you, even if you know them, I think you can get to know people at a deeper level. Because someone said to me this week, I don't think you really ever truly know someone. You can't ever really truly know someone. So turn to the person next to you, and what you're going to do is you are going to get to know them more. Ask them what their favorite book is and why. And you can't say the Christian answer like, oh, the Bible, that's my thing. No, we already know that. We know that's our favorite book. So just ask them what their favorite book is and why. And then just share, if you could go somewhere, anywhere in the world, where would that be and why? And we'll take like 5 minutes to do that. Just get to know people. Go.
Jacob, I'm curious, what was your favorite book? The Alchemist. I haven't read that one. Nice.
Tammy, what's your favorite book and why?
Little One. Classic.
Okay. Jeff, where would you travel to?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Why?
No. To Jerusalem or to Italy and sit on the sidewalk and have coffee.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Eat some cheese. Miranda, what's your favorite book?
So my favorite book is Love Does by Bob Goff. Love it, love it, love it. He's so adventurous, and that's really how I want to live in my faith, but I struggle to. So I think that's why, because it inspires me to live in such a childlike way.
That's a good one.
What's your favorite book?
So mine is one I read recently. It's called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, When Disappointments Leave You Shattered. It's by Lisa Turkhurst. Are there any Lisa Turkhurst fans in the house? Oh,
that's the next Bible study.
Nice. It's really, really good. I won't spoil it. How about you? Where would you travel?
So I would travel back to Germany. So I lived in Germany for about a year and a half. And we're going to go kind of deep here really quick. But I lived in Germany for a year and a half, moved over there in high school. And that was probably my favorite place that I ever lived, was in Germany. To share a little, I guess we're just going to kind of share a little bit more about our testimonies now. So when I met Jesus in high school, I was, sports were my life. Like, I love sports. I couldn't do them anymore because I got injured. And so it was like, at that point in my life, I was like, who am I going to be? What am I going to do with my life? I have absolutely no clue who I am. As a lot of people know, I grew up in a pretty disheveled, broken home. And so I went searching for meaning in life. And I went searching for it at a place that I always felt loved. And I showed up at Northlake Church when I was a junior in high school. A lot of those people there met me with open arms and love, and they spoke life over me. And it was just a really sweet time of my life. But it wasn't until another kind of storm hit that you really found out, like I really found out where my faith was and what my life was built on. Because I went searching and I found love in people, and I found Jesus. But I guess I didn't really know how deep my relationship needed to be with him. And I guess I didn't really know how much I didn't really know him. And I think that's why I wanted to take a little bit of time this morning and just get to know people, because I think we know people, and we think we know Jesus, and we think we know what he says, and then something kind of crazy happens in your life, and you just are like, man, what is my life really founded on, and what is my hope placed in? And for me, that was when I was in Germany, so I got married, and I moved to Germany. My husband and I lived over there for about a year and a half, and as anybody could see, I'm not married today. It's the worst, best time of my life. Worst, best time. Because I found Jesus in a deeper way. And man, people just came alongside me, and it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And so, thank you. All that to say, I just really think that there's something to building relationships, deep relationships with one another. And even as Taryn and I go out and you know, we're going to go to Guatemala, it's like, man, you know, our foundation has to be firm in him. You know, it has to be firmly rooted in having community and being with you guys. And I just want to say I appreciate that so much for you guys sending us out in such a way. But literally, just going through that, when the storms of life came, I really needed Jesus. And that's kind of how Taryn and I connected. The whole like Holy Spirit-led story was, I used to work at Northlake, had coffee with Jeff because I didn't work there anymore, and we were talking about Guatemala at coffee one day, and Taryn was in the corner. And she comes over.
Being a creep.
She was creeping on me. She was creeping hardcore. So, and, you know, Jeff is like, why don't, like, we should do something with Guatemala. This is a thing. We should do something. I'm like, no. I need a job. Like, I can't even afford to feed myself right now. And so Taryn was in the corner, though, and she came over to our table. We just got done talking about Guatemala. And Taryn goes, hey, I've been needing to talk to you about Guatemala. I'm like, what? I haven't seen you since high school. What is going on right now? And so we went for coffee. Taryn and I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a chance. We went for coffee. And she's like, will you go to Guatemala with me? I was like, no. Because I just got a job at Fiber Federal. You know, I was going to have, after the first year, 10% put in my retirement and all of that. I was set. But then, I don't know, you know when God just keeps putting things on your heart, he keeps putting things, and it's not this guilt and shame, but it's kind of like this pressure. It's this pressure, and he keeps like highlighting scripture, and people keep coming in your path, and it's really weird because you're like, this is so odd. I haven't told you anything, and you're talking to me about Guatemala. So it must be Jesus, because only he knows. And so we went, did we go to coffee again? Was that how it happened? Well, we went to coffee the first time, and yeah. I'll let you share that if you want, how we connected.
Okay. Well, so to make it, like to bring it back full circle, I think I need to go back and start with kind of what brought me to that point of wanting to go to Guatemala. Whew. So I grew up in a Christian home, but I kind of held God, I feel like, at a distance. I didn't quite know how to go deeper with him and how to really have an intimate relationship with God. And that to me was kind of foreign because I didn't have an intimate relationship with really anyone. Growing up, I felt this pressure that it was all performance-based. And in order to get and receive love and attention, I had to be the good little girl. My mom would tell me this, my brother would get in trouble and I'd go up to her and say, "See, Mom, aren't I a good little girl? I didn't get in trouble." And I think I never really outgrew that growing up. I brought that into adulthood and so I got married August 28th, 2016 to my husband, and it was a beautiful day. And we had been dating for 4.5 years. So by that point, I was like, marry me. What are you waiting for? But we were trying to be wise. We were trying to financially be ready and get ourselves out of debt and really establish a firm foundation for our marriage. Well, fast forward the first year and a half, it was wonderful, but it felt like there was this loneliness, this disconnect, and I couldn't quite figure out why. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it turns out my husband had been abusing substance, and it came in like a storm, like just the biggest, most heart-wrenching storm I have ever walked through. And I wanted to fix it. Performance-based, right? If I could just love him more, if I could just hold my marriage together for a little bit longer, it'll be okay. I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if you guys are. Oh, it's me. And God just revealed to me that it's not something I can control. And it wasn't something that I caused. And it wasn't something that I'm going to be able to fix. And, you know, in the midst of that storm and that heartache, I couldn't understand why or how a good God could do that. Because I felt really entitled to my marriage and that I was owed that. And I recognized that in his grace and in his mercy, he brought the storm so that my eyes could be opened to the fact that I was storing up treasures on earth. That I put my marriage and this idea of a family and my career and my finances above him. And Lisa Turkhurst, in her book, she says, are you putting your trust in your situation, or are you putting your hope in God? And it just, my eyes were so open and my heart was just awakened to that, that I was putting so much hope and trust in my husband that he was gonna fix this and he was gonna do a complete 180, that I wasn't focusing and putting my hope in God, who held my heart, who loved me. And I think in those moments, you know, I started praying, okay, God, how are you using this situation for your glory? And how are you going to change me? How are you going to use me? And Guatemala kept coming up. And I was like, okay, this is not the time. I financially am not doing good. You know, I've already lost the things that I thought were his plan for me. How can I give up more and go to this place that I had never been before and seemed so distant? And just again and again, every time I prayed over this time, Guatemala kept popping up. And so I was like, okay. I bought my ticket. And I mean, more than just Guatemala, but Miranda. Like she said, we hadn't been in contact. We knew each other in high school, but we had mutual friends. I wouldn't necessarily say we were close friends. We were acquaintances. And he kept bringing her to my mind. And so I was at lunch, or I wasn't alone in the corner, you guys. I was with a friend. And I saw her, and I was like, okay. It's time to be creepy. No, not really. But I went over there and I was like, hey, so you keep coming to my mind. And I don't know if you've been to Guatemala before, but I just feel like I'm supposed to ask you about it. And that's a little bit about how our stories intersected. And when we connected at coffee, it was like, I don't know, just a soul connection. And we were able to just encourage one another, because my walk with my husband and her walk with hers have been very similar. And the pain that comes with that, you know, she can understand. And I think in those moments, we just knew this was so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And she told me no. It was like I asked her out on a date, and she said no. No. But I felt this peace, like, she's going to come. Eventually, it's going to work itself out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little bit about me.
So, when Taryn and I have been meeting, there's been quite a few verses or passages that have came to mind. You know, I was reading Matthew 19, and I've been reading that a lot, like over and over and over and over again lately. And that Sunday, when I had come up here and talked about Guatemala and, you know, okay, I'm going to leave my job and do this, I'd been reading The Rich Young Ruler. And it was like it came to life for me. It came to life in such a way where it's like Jesus was asking me, okay, you've done this, you've done all the right things, because I'm a very controlling person and self-righteous a lot of times. And he's like, are you going to leave everything, and are you going to follow me in whatever I call you to do? And I had kept saying no, But I read it again that week before I had came up here and said, I'm going to leave my job and go to Guatemala. And it did something in my heart, and I don't know. I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And so, Taryn and I, if you guys can turn to Matthew 7 and verses 24 through 27. It's about building your house on the rock. And that has been kind of mine and Taryn's like heart song passage that we keep coming back to, and Jesus keeps speaking to us as we read it. And it says, Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it just really feels like Jesus just caught us in what we were walking through. And it's been a huge blessing to just, I don't know, read that verse and found my life on him. And so all of this relates to kind of what we're doing even down in Guatemala, because the funny thing is that part of the mission of the Least of These Ministries down there with Phil and Holly Newburn is they teach people how to build the foundation of their house. So they go out into these remote villages of Guatemala, and they work through the churches in those villages. And what they do is they try to get them clean drinking water. They build kitchens in the church there, so everything goes through the church, the local church. And they build them houses, and they teach them how to build the foundation of their house. And then they go in with their teams, and they build the houses. So if you see on the left side, that's what they live in on a daily basis, just kind of like these mud huts. People are sick all the time. And then that's what it looks like afterwards. And so just kind of getting them up off the ground, getting them shelter. But the other cool thing, too, is that really it is their heart's cry to share Jesus with these people. Because you can have the tangible things, you know. You can have the marriage, you can have all of any, you know, everything you could ever ask for in life. And the floods are going to come no matter what. No matter who you are, floods will come in this life. And to know that your foundation is still there and to know that Jesus is there, that's where our hope lies. And, that's where our hope lies.
To add to that, one thing that came to mind as she was reading that scripture is you can't be halfway on the rock and halfway on the sand. It's one or the other. And I think I touched on this a little bit when I was talking, but I think in the storm, God transforms you. Mm-hmm. And to have a heart that actually rejoices in the storm, because that alone is revealing to you where your heart is. You can't serve two masters. And in this day and age, we have so much competing for our heart. But when the storm comes and everything is swept away, where is your hope? And we're excited to go down to Guatemala and share with these people and these kids where their hope is. And we're really excited that you're a part of that. Our hope is to be able to come back and bring teams down so that people can go and be a part of this. And so we would just ask that you cover us in prayer over this time. We leave April 8th. And yeah, it's coming up. So pray I stop procrastinating and I start packing. But yeah, I just want to say thank you. And I came in this morning and I just was covered in fear and I don't know what was going on. It was this spiritual battle going on for sure. And God told me, go sit down at the stairs. And I was like, no, no, like, I don't want to be weird. because I fear sometimes like what people think. And then, there was this prayer that people would just step out of their comfort zone and let go of fear and do something that they don't normally do during worship. And I was like, oh my Lord, you're really calling me to do this, aren't you? and we get that. You know, the Holy Spirit is in us and it prompts us. And we can either obey or we can push it down and make it inaudible at times. And the more that we are in obedience, the louder it becomes. And just, God blesses that. Someone came up behind me and prayed for me and brought up relationships, that I would have no fear in relationships, finance, and career. And I just was in awe because God gives you that peace. You know, when you let go and you surrender everything and you focus on Him. You know, the passage where Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking towards God. It's Peter, right? Okay, it's Peter. I don't want to be wrong in front of a whole church. Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking in the midst of a crazy, crazy storm. And his eyes are on Jesus. And the moment he turns away and he starts realizing, oh dang, this is a pretty nasty storm, he starts to fall in. And he starts to get overtaken by the storm. And Jesus calls out to him, no. Eyes on me. And I just see that. I see that being like how God is calling to us in the midst of our storms. Don't look around you at how crazy it is. God's bigger than that. And He's with you in it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So let's go to town. I'm really glad that these two shared their personal side of this because wherever they go, they're going to change the atmosphere. You can tell. You can tell it's in them. So let's get the worship team back up here. Mike.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be there for about a month. So I'm coming home May 6th. And Taryn, I think, is going to be there for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. Month and a half. So, yeah, we're hoping to come back and share, you know, what we all did together. Because I think God is doing all of this through all of us. And I'm so excited to do this together with you guys.
So what we're going to do is going to go back into a little worship. Could you do the kind of worship that stirs up the Holy Spirit? Especially prophetically, because I'm going to get this stuff up here, put the table out here, and I'm going to invite you to come up and speak over their lives prophetically. Not words of encouragement, but what the Lord gives you. And it's all being recorded, so they'll have that. But I really believe that God's calling us to speak into each other's lives. And so I'll just put the mic up here, and you guys can come up to the table. You can still bring money if you want to. There's plenty of room for more seed. And we'll just close things out like that and see where God wants to go. But I do want to have, I want you to have an opportunity to declare the words of God over them. So, not long, because God is not long-winded. He's always to the point, and he knows exactly what he wants to say. He's just looking for voices that will repeat what they hear. Okay? And then we're just going to bless these two.
So come and blow on through. Spirit move. For you to come and blow. Come and do.
Lord, I pray for Brenda. I know she's got some extra hearing health issues, Lord, and I just ask you, Lord, to not let that affect her trip at all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just hold everything up. Actually, Lord, I ask you to heal her, totally heal her, miraculously heal her. And just help her with that, Lord. Help it not to interfere at all with her trip.
Jeff asked us to get a word for you. I immediately heard Galatians 2:20. So this is what the Lord declares over you. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Said over this region that this is an eagle's nest, and we pray that God would release you as eagles into Guatemala, that you'd fly, that you would soar, that you'd go high, and you'd be able to get a vantage point over that whole nation that would speak to the heart of the nation from a prophetic standpoint. We pray for a release of prophetic words in you over people's lives, and especially the next generation, that these young children would come to life as you speak into their lives. It isn't just hope, but it's hope for the future. Hope for their future. Hope for the future of the nation.
Lord, the refreshing faith, Lord, just you've breathed a breath of refreshment upon them, Lord. And they are going to go down there into Guatemala, and they're taking it with them. We're going to touch lives, and people are going to be shaken into salvation, Lord. In your purity, your loveliness over them, Lord. This is your calling for them, Lord. And it's lovely in your sight, and it's a beautiful aroma unto you, their sacrifice, Lord. And I just pray protection and total marvelous freedom for them. And this in this ministry that they're going into, inspired by you, led by you, caused by you, Lord. And I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for their refreshing faith that has influenced all of us.
I just keep hearing hope and joy and laughter. And so I believe that the Lord is sending you with those seeds to plant in Guatemala. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your hope and your joy and your laughter. And we just ask that you would just... your abundance, Lord, in those areas. That you would use these two amazing women in mighty ways. In ways that would just blow their minds, blow their socks off, Lord. That would just break all of the expectations, all of the preconceived whatevers. That they would just be busted down. And that you would reign supreme. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for their willingness to go and that they said yes to you, Lord. Just ask that you'd bless them for it.
God's timing's perfect. Hi. His timing's perfect. And Joshua 1 says, I'm giving every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. I'll be with you, and I won't give up on you, and I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you. Every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't, for a minute, let the book of Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it night and day, making sure you're practicing. You practice everything written in it. Then you will get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you strength and courage? Don't be timid. Don't be discouraged. Go. Your God is with you every step you take. So, Lord, I just declare and decree that you are giving them the strength and the courage to take each step, and that they will hear you, that you are enhancing their discernment, enhancing the words that you give them, so they know not to go to the left or the right, but to take the path that you have given them, and that you will expand it, and that you will prosper them and prosper the people of Guatemala, and that there will not be one inch of that land that they do not take. They are atmosphere changers, and I feel that from the depth of my heart, that both of you guys are atmosphere changers, and that you will have the strength and the courage that you've never had before. That your past does not define you, but what it has done is it's given you a purpose and a place to go. And the Lord is taking you, and he will never leave you, and he will never abandon you, and he will strengthen you and give you the courage. Amen.
I'm hearing that you're gonna face some darkness, that the enemy doesn't want to be uprooted where you're going, but you don't, like you said, you don't have to fix everything. Like Moses, he just kept his hands up and the enemy defeated itself. So I just pray you bring your love and kindness like you do everywhere you go, and you're going to see some really amazing things.
I'm going to pray Ephesians 3:14 over you. For this reason, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth receives its character. I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his Spirit, so that as the Messiah lives in your hearts through your trusting, he will come to live in the hearts of the people that you encounter in Guatemala. Also, I pray that as you are rooted and founded in love, those people will become rooted and founded in love, so that with all of God's people, they will also be given strength to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the Messiah's love. Yes, to even know, though it is beyond all knowing, so that not only you, but all those people you encounter will know the fullness of the living God. And I did that blue flag just because I just saw Holy Spirit resting on you guys. He's resting on you. And just draw deep from Him. He's got all you need.
The Lord led me to Ephesians 2:10 for you guys, and I just want to read it out of this translation, if I can find it. That he showed me was when we were taking an offering earlier, that I was to pour out all the change that I could find in my purse, because you guys would be pouring yourselves into this missions trip. And as you pour out, change is gonna happen. You're gonna see real change. It's not just in you. It's not just in the people you minister to, but there's going to be an atmospheric change. But he wants you to remember who you are. Don't lose sight of who he's called you to be. You are God's masterpieces. His masterpieces. He created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the things that he planned long ago for you to do. Don't let fear enter in when he asks you to do certain things. It may feel awkward or like you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. It was a challenge for me to come and to put change into a bucket that clangs. But the Lord said, pour out for change. So pour out for change.
I heard Isaiah 44:3, and then I heard the Lord say, if you feel like you're going to do something for God, he says, for I will pour out my water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children.
frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was still none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. So God, I just want to thank you for Taryn. Thank you for her life. I thank you for her soul. She has such a beautiful soul. I am so blessed by your friendship, Taryn. I do believe that God put us together, and I just want to thank you for encouraging me. I know you said I was an encouragement to you, but you have been the utmost encouragement to me, with just your sense of humor, how you can so freely talk about Jesus and what he's doing in your life, and you are just an absolutely profound human being, and I am eternally grateful that God placed you in my life, and that we get to be friends, and that we get to walk through this journey together, and whatever that looks like, I'm so blessed.
Let's go back into worship, and I just want to give you an opportunity to lay hands on them and pray a covering over them, because we want them protected. So, Dwayne.
It was evident that you guys have caught the King's love, the Father's love. And you put me in Song of Songs. It's like, why did he do that? Every part of you is so beautiful, my darling. Perfect is your beauty without flaw within. Now you are ready, my bride, to come with me to climb the highest peaks. Come with me through the archway of trust. We will look down from the crest of the glistening mountains into the summit of the sublime sanctuary. Together, we will wage war in the lion's den and the leopard's lair. As they watch nightly for their prayer, for you reach into my heart. With one flash of your eyes, I'm undone by your love. My beloved, my equal, my bride, you leave me breathless. I am overcome by merely a glance from your worshiping eyes, for you have stolen my heart. I am hostage by your love and by the graces of righteousness shining upon you. Lord, just be with them. And just the love that you have for them. They've captured that. They've felt it. They've seen it. Just always remind them of that. Always remind them.
So fear attacks the mind, so especially pray for protection over their minds, okay? Come on up and pray for them. Just lay hands on them and pray for protection over them, for their minds. Actually, let's just have women come up and pray for them. Just women. Go for it, Dwayne.
My bones are about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would call on sons and daughters. So come. My bones are about to move.